What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Bring in show music, please.
This is Squawk Pod. I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on our podcast, thousands of flights grounded. Delta CEO Ed Bastian on the headwinds for the airline industry.
We're doing much, much better than we were through the early part of the holiday period. Over the last 4 weeks, we've had about 8,000 of our staff be infected by the virus. Good news is that they were all fine.
And clearer skies ahead, hopefully.
What we're seeing is, you know, for the spring season, it's going to be a very, very busy season and the summer as well. And we just need to navigate this next 4 or 5 weeks to get there.
Plus, getting off the tarmac and into the barber's chair?
Have you used this new amazing Dyson hair dryer? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's Thursday, January 13th, 2022. Squawk Pod begins right now. This morning, Delta Airlines reported its fourth quarter results and its highest revenue since 2019, thanks to holiday travelers. But the company announced that for the first quarter of the new year, the COVID Omicron variant would likely result in a loss. It isn't just Delta facing this problem, of course. The entire aviation industry is contending with serious turbulence, in part because of weather, but also because of the continuing pandemic. Thousands of employees have called out sick since Christmas, and carriers have blamed COVID for at least part of their service disruptions. Since December 25th, over 29,000 flights, that's 8% of scheduled journeys, have been canceled. You may remember the CDC's change to COVID isolation guidelines that nearly broke the internet with CDC-inspired sarcastic memes. Well, airlines, like Delta, had lobbied for that policy shift, and now they're facing some backlash. The Association of Flight Attendants, a union that represents nearly 50,000 flight attendants across 20 different airlines, is seeking to unionize Delta's crew, who they don't currently represent. The two are in a bit of a dispute at the moment, the union calling for the CDC to keep the 10-day COVID isolation recommendation in place, despite pressure from airlines to keep it short. Leading the charge is president of the Association of Flight Attendants, Sarah Nelson.
To lobby the CDC based on staffing shortages alone sends a really mixed message to the public, and we're really concerned about that for the employees, but also for the safety that we are communicating to the public. So our biggest concern right away is that when you have a major policy change like this, especially at an airline the size of Delta or United Airlines, it takes a while to communicate that policy to the workers, communicate it through all of your levels of management so that everyone is doing the right thing. What Delta led on was asking the CDC to reduce the days from 10 to 5 for staffing reasons.
Sarah has been on our TV broadcast and this podcast, giving us the pulse of airline staffers throughout the pandemic. And today on Squawk Pod, we're focusing up in the air. Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin are all in their socially distanced chairs, and CNBC's Phil LeBeau brought us Delta CEO Ed Bastian this morning. Here he is.
Let's bring in Ed Bastian, CEO of Delta Airlines, joining us from the company's headquarters in Atlanta. Ed, I'm usually there with you. Can't be with you there right now, obviously, because of the circumstances with Omicron and everything that's going on. But we want to talk about these results. You beat the street with better than expected results on both the top and the bottom line. But clearly, you did see an impact from Omicron in the fourth quarter, particularly the last week, week and a half of the year. Explain the impact that you saw.
Well, good to see you, Phil. I miss you down here. Look forward to you coming back, hopefully, for the first quarter report in a couple of months. Despite the challenges of Omicron, which impacted not just our company, but our entire society as we closed out the year, we closed out the year strong. We had a profit of $170 million in the fourth quarter, a solid profit number, largely in line with the guidance, as you suggest. And we'll be the only airline that's profitable throughout the back half of 2021. So our people have done a tremendous job. It's one of the reasons we also announced this morning that we're going to be making a special profit sharing payment to our people of roughly $100 million, which equals 20% of the profits of the back 6 months of the year. We weren't profitable for the full year, but we were profitable for the back half of the year. And our people do a tremendous job. And it's the service and the excellence that they bring every single day that makes all the difference for our customers and for our company.
Ed, where do things stand right now in terms of the impact of Omicron on your operations? They've stabilized in the last week, correct?
Yeah, we're doing much, much better than we were through the early part of the holiday period. Omicron, as I indicated, has impacted all of us. Over the last 4 weeks, we've had about 8,000 of our staff be infected by the virus. The good news is that they were all, you know, fine. There's been no significant issues, health issues that we've seen from it. But it's knocked them out of the operation for a period of time. At the same time that we had the busiest travel that we have seen in 2 years. So the confluence of those two events could not have happened at a worse time. We were operating, you know, during parts of the holiday and into the first week of January of cancellations of 5%, some days even more than that. It was just unheard of for us within our industry. But over the course of the last week, those cancellations are way down. Staff levels and case counts are coming down with respect to our own staff. The doctors have told us that this is going to decline as rapidly as it rose. Our case counts are already coming down meaningfully at Delta. We only have seen about 1% cancellations over the last 7 days due to Omicron. And in fact, yesterday, we only had two cancellations the entire day for the mainline out of over 2,500 operations due to Omicron. So we believe the worst is behind us, and we just need to navigate to get through this as a society.
So let's talk about the outlook for the first quarter. You guys really believe that things accelerate as we get into February and March, particularly after President's Day. Are you noticing that in the bookings right now, that you're seeing the demand that you expected to snap back?
We are. In the next 4 to 6 weeks is going to be difficult. With, you know, January and the first half of February, as you know, Phil, are always the weakest parts of our travel calendar. And with Omicron coming out at the same time, it's going to make it that much more weaker. But what we do see in the booking data is the President's Day weekend forward looks really robust. Our numbers and the bookings continue, you know, through this period. People are ready to travel. They're ready to book their spring plans. They know Omicron's not going to be a threat to them at that point, and they want to get out and they want to reunite with friends, family, the world, get on with their life. What we're seeing is, you know, for the spring season, it's going to be a very, very busy season, and the summer as well. And we just need to navigate this next 4 or 5 weeks to get there.
Ed, you heard the comments from Sarah Nelson, or maybe you didn't hear, and you know what she's been saying over the last week or so with regard to how Delta has handled the Omicron variant and with regard to your staffing there. Do you think there's any lingering impact in terms of labor relations at the company? I know you guys just have the profit sharing check that you just announced this morning, but is there any lingering impact there?
This has been a really hard time for all of us, and particularly within the airline industry. And our people are our heroes. The work they have done throughout the past 2 years, the work they've done over this past year, the work they've done over the last few weeks. I think this holiday period that we just went through was arguably the most difficult period of time that we experienced throughout the pandemic, with demand as high as it was and the virus peaking in the most infectious condition at the time. So, you know, we thank our people, we support them, but we always follow the science at Delta. As you know, Phil, we've surrounded ourselves with the very best medical minds, the Mayo Clinic, at Emory University, Emory Healthcare here in Atlanta. We hired the industry's first real chief health officer, Dr. Henry Ting, who provides us our guidance, and we follow the CDC orders, you know, very, very carefully and very closely, because protection and safety of our people is job one at all times, and that's without exception. With any implication or insinuation that that's not our number one focus is simply misleading.
Hey, Ed, over the last couple of weeks, Sarah's been on a couple of times, and the things that she has said have been, first of all, that Delta was pushing the CDC for these guidelines so that they could bring people back more quickly. And second of all, I realize that, you know, the flight attendants would like to unionize at Delta, so I do take it with a grain of salt, but she said that just in terms of the other airlines, that they were doing things that they had negotiated with the flight attendants unions there to pay people, other people who were well, more money to come back and pick up more flights rather than Delta. Delta was not doing that. What's your response to that?
As you know, we did issue a cease and desist letter. And it's because we think at times like this where health information and the wellness of our people is so critical that leaders and organizations need to make sure that they speak carefully, truthfully, and factually. And that's why we issued that cease and desist letter. Our people are doing a fabulous job. No, we did not compensate and try to provide an incentive for people to come to work while Omicron is floating through the system. We want our people just the opposite. We want our people to be tested. We found more cases, as I said, over 8,000 people have come down with it because we've encouraged them to be tested and to put their safety at the forefront. Our people are the best compensated. They take the very best care of our customers, and as a result, we reward them the very best as well.
Ed, we've talked a few times about when the world gets back to normal, and you get to start worrying about things that you've been worried about, you know, your entire career in the airline industry. You know, oil. There are some people that think there's a super spike on the horizon, and this inflation is, you know, it's probably part monetary, and there's a, you know, a lot of reasons, the pandemic, a lot of different things. But if you get hit with really solid demand as you forecast, and oil prices do rise quite a bit, what are you planning? What are you factoring in? What's the high for oil in 2022? Does Delta try to figure that out?
You know, we're not smart enough to figure that out, Joe. But we're prepared, depending on what might happen. Are we prepared for oil prices north of $100? Of course we are. We've seen it in the past. We've seen it, you know, many times in the past, and we have figured out what we have to do to be able to recover that. It ultimately comes down to pricing. You need to be able to put a product and service that customers are willing to pay for. It includes all the price of oil and all of the cost of delivery. You know, we're looking at demand. Demand looks really healthy. We know we have a consumer that's anxious to travel. We know the consumer's got considerable wealth built up. We know businesses are anxious to get back on the road once businesses start to reopen following the Omicron last phase of the pandemic, let's hope. And oil prices will just be part of that equation in terms of the overall pricing and yield management of the airline.
Ed, it's Phil again. You mentioned business travel. When we talked in New York last month, you indicated that corporate travel was picking up in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Obviously, things have changed given the variant and the spread. What do you expect in terms of corporate travel? Has this been a 30, 60-day pause in that increased travel, and then we see it increase from there? What is your expectation?
From talking to our big corporate accounts as well as others in the field, we look at this as about a 60-day pause, 60 to 90-day, let's call it, because business travel probably takes a little bit longer to recover than consumer travel. And international might be even a touch longer than that, but not too far out. I think the spring for international will also be quite well, particularly across the transatlantic. You know, these are tied to businesses reopened, as I mentioned to you when we spoke last month. Right now, as we survey our corporates, roughly about 60% of them were open for business in the December quarter. Many of them had plans to reopen in January. Obviously, those have been pushed out to the spring. But once those businesses reopen, we think travel is going to continue to grow in the business sector. For the fourth quarter, we closed the year at about 60% of overall business travel in terms of recovery relative to 19. The big corporates, a little less than that. Small business, a little higher than that. Once we get through this and we're looking at President's Day as the line of demarcation where things should really start to pick up as the virus recedes, we look for a very strong spring travel season for corporate, for small business, for international, as well as for consumer. March, April, May, I think are going to be really healthy months for us.
Hey, Ed, Andrew here. I want to ask you a couple questions to follow up here, in part because Delta is ranked number 38 in the Just 100. It's the top transportation company on that list. And in part, you get there because of the satisfaction by customers and also employees. I wanted in a roundabout way to almost come back to some of the stuff that Sarah Nelson was suggesting, because here we have a company who's actually excelling on one side, but there is a union movement, as you know, across this country, and labor movement that is accelerating. And how you think about that?
Well, you don't get there as being rated number one in customer satisfaction as our customers rate us. J.D. Power, we won the award this year. Business Travel News, the 11th year in a row as the number one airline by a large measure for business travelers. If you don't have happy employees, if you don't have employees that want to serve, that feel respected, feel trusted, feel backed up, and that's the proof in the pudding. And the better job that our people do, the better job our customers are going to reward us with service, and the better job we can then turn around and grow and invest and take good care of them. So it all starts with people. You know, every time I talk to you, Andrew, you know me well for many years. It's all about people. My job is to serve our people, is to be the very best. We've been a target for union activism by outside unions for decades. This is nothing new, but our people know that their number one job is to take care of our customers and each other, and the business, the company will take care of them.
You think, by the way, do you think that the labor movement in America that's happening right now is a good thing? Is a bad thing? Is it a power grab by the unions? I ask because I'm trying to understand it myself and sort of try to make sense of what's happening, especially given the labor shortages, which is giving labor more power than ever before.
I don't know. And listen, we have a large union on our property with our pilots, so we deal with the union. We deal with the rest of our employees who are largely non-union. Whatever the motivations or the environment is, I don't think that necessarily influences how we operate and the job we have. My job is to take care of our people, you know, whether I had a union or not. And I'm going to do the very best I can.
Ed, thank you very much for joining us. Next time, I'm there in Atlanta again once we get past this surge in the coronavirus around the country. Ed Bastian, CEO of Delta Airlines, joining us, Andrew, on a day when the company beats on the top and the bottom line. And you heard what he said. They believe that this is basically a 30 to 60 day pause in demand, and then things accelerate, especially as you get into the back half of February and then into March. Andrew?
Phil, thank you. And thank you for bringing us that interview with Ed Bastian.
More Squawk Pod right after this.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip. Either way, go to TravelTexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Welcome back to Squawk Pod.
Is that some product in your hair, or did you venture forth and did someone come in? Was there triple masking involved? Your hair looks great today. Did you get a haircut or something? Or
I got a haircut. Nice for you.
How did
notice.
That happen? Hazmat suits on both ends, or how would you they enter the bubble? Where did you go? Did you exit? Or did someone come in after screening?
N95 masks. No, seriously, because I think you know I'm crazy about this stuff. N95 masks.
I know.
Windows open, air filters on high. There. And the guy who's a lovely guy who comes in and has cut my hair a bunch of times during the pandemic thinks that I'm completely out of my mind. But that's how I do it.
No.
Hick.
No. He said that guy. What's he thinking? Well, it was.
You didn't even notice my Joe. I colored my own hair.
Looks great
yesterday.
All the time.
No, I colored my hair because my hairdresser. My hairdresser has COVID.
Wow, with hair coloring and stuff like that, I don't make any guesses or determinations
any
because
mention?
Of our lighting. Our shifting. Our shifting. Yeah, right. Our shifting yes. lighting. I get it all the time. Yeah. Blah blah. So, did you go lighter?
No, just same.
Just the same.
Same, pretty much. Just a little touch-up.
Okay.
I got some help from Kimmy, from my
What
daughter.
Does that entail? to do your own? I guess it's is there any tinfoil involved? Do you start picking up like broadcast networks?
No.
Because I've seen that. And
this was a quick kind of just touch up to get me through for a few weeks.
Andrew, we're going to move on because we have important things. But Andrew,
I don't color my hair.
I know,
but I have
no,
used.
My question,
by the way, I don't
my
know Becky question has what, it. As Becky, have you used this new amazing Dyson hair dryer? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
there is
a
hair dryer that is like. Unfortunately, I think it would like it's going to take the job of every hairdresser in America because it's outrageous. This thing.
It's. I bought one at the beginning of the pandemic when I started doing my own hair.
Fortunately, I can use just an actual dryer, like a washer and a dryer, throw it in, finish it there.
And that's Squawk Pod for today. Thanks for listening. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern. And to get the smartest takes and analysis from our TV show right into your ears, follow Squawk Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend to follow, too. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
Now we are clear. Thanks, guys.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.